Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In Notes from Underground, Fyodor Dostoevsky has his narrator, an intellectual in St. Petersburg, talk quite a bit about different kinds of pleasures. And some of these would be wholesome pleasures, the sorts of things that all of us may partake in, you know, the sweetness of an apple, the enjoyment of light conversation at a party, the nice look of a new tie, or anything along those lines. He actually doesn't dwell on those very much, because in this work, he's interested in digging into the pleasures that are less savory, the pleasures that we may view as in some way perverse or morbid. And he talks about people with strong nerves who can't understand the somewhat more subtle aspects of pleasure. That is, they're able to enjoy the good, healthy pleasures, but they're not able to see the other things that people delight in. And if you think about this for a minute, why is it important to actually understand the full range of pleasure? Well, if you want to understand why human beings do the things that they do, and if their desires for pleasure play a role in that, and their pleasures are not exactly the same thing that you find pleasant, it might be useful to actually know what people do in fact desire and enjoy, even if it's not the sort of thing that you consider to be good or healthy or noble. So he talks quite a bit about a number of different kinds of pleasures. You know, some are perfectly fine, going out on a spring day and enjoying the air, bending down to pick some hyacinths or crocuses or lilies or whatever it happens to be, enjoying the sound of rain falling on the windows above. All of those, you know, cuddling up with a kitten or a puppy, caressing a loved one, all of those are quite good, right? But those aren't the full range of things that we actually do enjoy, Dostoevsky says. And here, it's interesting. He's got this strong contrast running throughout the entire thing between the ordinary person of action and the intellectual. But here, although there are some pleasures that he attributes to the intellectual, he doesn't say that the ordinary people don't also indulge in some of these. So these are the non-wholesome pleasures. One of these is causing other people to suffer. He mentions how Cleopatra is reputed to have shoved these pins, golden pins, you know, so a luxury item, through the breasts of her slaves just to cause them pleasure. No, to cause them pain, to cause herself pleasure. And he says, you know, people do that sort of thing out of boredom. And you might think of all the different sort of sadistic actions that people from children all the way up to the aged have done in order to make themselves feel alive for a moment by inflicting some suffering on somebody else, usually somebody who they have control over, somebody who they can pay, somebody who they can compel in some way, somebody who has to take it. That is a kind of pleasure. He also talks about the intellectual who is groaning with a toothache. There's this incredibly funny passage in here where he's talking about how after the third or fourth day, they're not groaning the same way as, say, a peasant would be. He says, the moans that they're feeling express a whole bunch of things. He says, listen on the second or third day of pain when he's no longer moaning the way he did on the first day, simply because his tooth ached. He's been affected by education and by European civilization. He moans like a man who, as they say nowadays, has been uprooted from the soil and lost contact with the people. His moans soon become strident and perverse, and they continue day and night. He certainly knows he's not helping himself by moaning like that. No one knows better than he that he's tormenting and irritating himself and others for nothing. that his audience, and this includes his family for whom he's trying so hard, is listening to him with disgust. They don't believe he's sincere in the least and realize he could moan differently, more simply, without all these trills and flourishes, and that he's putting it all on out of sheer spite and viciousness. Now, a little bit after that, he says, there's voluptuous pleasure in all this degradation and the realization of it. But some of that pleasure comes from imposing that on everybody around you. The groans, the endless suffering that you're making them deal with. Why not just close the door or tell them to go on vacation or something like that? And another instance of this would be the underground man's insistence with this officer that he have his saber done the right way. And he finally imposes his will on that impertinent officer who keeps coming to him. He's a petty bureaucrat who's acting like a jerk to this military officer because he can. And so that's one type of pleasure, causing other people suffering or pain. Another thing that Dostoevsky has the underground man talk about is doing things that are bad, knowing that they're bad, things that cannot be undone, things that are base, things that are, as we would say today, nasty or disgusting. And he talks about this, and he says, to begin with, he says, I was conscious of things that are very wholesome, the beautiful and the good, right? And he says, I knew about these things. And then I did ugly things, things that everyone does probably, but I did precisely at moments when I was most aware that they shouldn't be done. He doesn't say what these are, but we could well imagine. And he says, the more conscious I was of the good and the beautiful, the deeper I sank into the mud and the more likely I was to remain mired in it. Now, did he simply have a negative reaction saying, oh, I'm such a bad guy. This really sucks. I feel pain because I look at myself and how degraded I am. No, he took pleasure in it. And I think many people, in fact, do. Dostoevsky is onto something quite important here. He says, first I went through this inner struggle, I was ashamed, I, tried to stop doing these things, and then I started to reach a point where I felt a secret, unhealthy, base little pleasure into creeping back into my hole after some disgusting night in Petersburg and forcing myself to think I'd again done something filthy, that what I had done couldn't be undone. And I inwardly gnawed at myself for it, tore at myself, ate myself away. So he's feeling remorse, he's feeling these negative emotions, and then he says, then something happened. The bitterness transformed into a shameful, accursed sweetness, and finally into a great, unquestionable pleasure. Yes, yes, definitely a pleasure, I mean it. And he says, that's why I started out on this subject. I wanted to find out whether others experience this kind of pleasure too. And then he says, I'll explain it to you. I derived pleasure precisely from the blinding realization of my degradation. I realized that there was something wrong with me. And at first I felt bad about that. And I still do feel bad about it. But precisely in the feeling bad, I get to feel good. There's a compensation, a pleasure, a voluptuousness within that. So doing bad things, becoming bad, becoming a person who does these bad things, these base things over and over again, the degradation as he talks about it, that can produce a pleasure in quite a few people. They delight in being called a degenerate gambler, or they find a way to turn their addiction into something cool. Or, we might go on and on and on. Another thing he talks about as providing a certain kind of perverse pleasure on the part of the intellectual in this case is despair at the hopelessness of the situation that he finds himself in. He can't really be anything. He can't actually deal with life the way that ordinary people do. Everything that he looks at, every path in front of him, it makes sense, but it also, in a way has all sorts of holes in it and doesn't make sense in certain ways, and he can't really commit to anything. Everywhere he looks, there's some sort of problem. that can make you feel hopeless. That can cause you to feel despair. And Dostoevsky, through his character, tells us, well, there's a certain pleasure even in that. Perhaps this is the pleasure that leads us when we are in a losing situation and there's nothing that we can do about it, that leads us to laugh. Some people think of that as a kind of hysteria. If we're thinking in terms of the underground man, an alternative explanation is possible, that it is either an expression of or it is a means to taking some sort of pleasure in the face of hopelessness. Finally, he also talks about suffering itself. And he talks about the toothache. And he says, you know, I can enjoy a good toothache. You know, and people are like, well, how can you actually do that? Well, he says, there is pleasure in a toothache. Once I suffered a toothache for a whole month, I can tell you there's pleasure in it. People don't rage in silence. They moan. They're not ordinary moans. They're malicious. And in this moaning, you express the pleasure of the sufferer. If you didn't enjoy it, you wouldn't moan. You would silently suffer it. The moaning itself could be an expression of a kind of pleasure. Now, I think a lot of people would hear that and say, you're nuts. I don't moan or groan or gasp or whatever it happens to be because I'm feeling pleasure. I feel pain. But with time, and for some people, it can become its own kind of pleasure. And there are people, by the way, who do this with just the physical pain itself. There are cases of people who, and we're not just talking about masochism in the sense of enjoying being humiliated by somebody else or even having pain inflicted upon oneself, but they have something going on with their body, and this is why we often talk about this as morbid. They begin to feel a kind of pain in it. By the way, this is not a realization unique to Dostoevsky. Somebody else who talked about this back in the ancient world, Epicurus, believe it or not, although it's just one passage. Then the last thing that he talks about is this cycle, this dynamic of what he calls humiliation leading to punishment and then feeling a sense of remorse and repentance, but knowing that he doesn't really feel it and he's not going to follow through on it and he's not going to become a better person in the end. He says that, how can one have the slightest respect for a man who tries to find pleasure in the feeling of humiliation itself? I'm not saying that out of any mawkish sense of repentance. In general, I couldn't stand saying, sorry, Papa, I'll never do it again. But it wasn't because I wasn't capable of saying it. On the contrary, I was too prone to say it. And you should have seen under what circumstances, too. I'd get myself blamed almost purposely for something with which I'd had nothing to do, even in thought or dream. That was the most disgusting. But even so, I was always deeply moved. I repented my wickedness, and I cried. In this, of course, I was deceiving myself, though I never did so deliberately. And then he says, if you ask me now why I tortured and tormented myself like that, I'll tell you. I was bored. Just sitting with my arms folded, so I went in for all those tricks. Believe me, it's true. Just watch yourself carefully. You'll understand that's the way it works. I made up whole stories about myself and put myself through all sorts of adventures to satisfy at any price my need to live. How many times did I convince myself I was offended just like that for no reason at all? And I knew I had nothing to be offended about. I was strongly tempted to play tricks of this sort that in the end I lost all restraint. He puts himself into these imaginary dynamics as if life isn't already hard enough and doesn't give us enough trouble. He gets himself into trouble, but it allows him to take a certain secret delight. So if we actually want to understand human nature, if we want to deal with human beings as they are and understand ourselves, we need to recognize that people do, in fact, take pleasure in all sorts of things that are quite unwholesome. Quite unhealthy, bad, base, but they do that, and that is perhaps part of the nature of this crazy, complex thing that we call humanity. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.